It began, of course, at the library. A small, elegant, white marble building, it sat tucked around the corner from Madison Avenue on a quiet block of East 36th Street. Nearly complete at the end of 1905, it would soon house J. Pierpont Morgan's private office and his growing collection of European art, rare books, and manuscripts. For Morgan, it was a quiet private retreat a few blocks from his Manhattan residence, away from the demands of his Wall Street office. The businessman was aging. The aggressive, some would say rapacious, growth of his financial capital was no longer the center of his energies. Mr. Morgan's library would become his retreat from the frantic world of finance and an outlet for his new interest in acquisitions of a different sort. As quickly as tariff laws could be reformed, Morgan was bringing European art and Western culture to New York. Not many there had yet seen his treasures. When she arrived at Morgan's library for her first appointment with the great man that winter, Belle DaCosta Green was a complete unknown in the New York worlds of society and art. Her family had lived in Manhattan for a decade, but she was currently residing in Princeton, New Jersey, working at Princeton University's library. Her father was gone. Her mother and the eldest children had struggled to support the family. With a brother in graduate school, two younger sisters to help support, and an appetite for intellectual challenge, Belle was ambitious for professional development and money. At Princeton, she had begun her informal studies of rare books and illuminated manuscripts, and she caught the attention of assistant librarian Junius Morgan, a Princeton graduate with an avid interest in early books. Junius had been helping his more famous uncle with his developing library, which was now overflowing his home study and the attic storage room of the Lenox Library. He wanted to be sure the priceless and often unique manuscripts would be in good hands. Surely the elder Morgan would not object to hiring a young unknown woman if she had ability. J. Pierpont appreciated talent wherever he found it, and everyone knew he had an eye for beautiful women. So Belle found herself approaching the new building on 36th Street one winter day in late 1905. It is a wonderful moment to imagine this meeting. Of course, she was nervous, perhaps even terrified, but her face would not have betrayed it. Passing through the solid metal doors, feeling the mosaic stone floors of the vaulted foyer ring beneath her heels, she stepped into a building that sought to recreate the architecture and artistry of ancient Greece and Renaissance Italy. Today, tall lapis lazuli pillars pull a visitor's gaze upward to high arching ceilings painted in the style of the Italian Renaissance masters. These paintings were among the last touches added to the library and were probably not there for her first visit. Three interior doors flanked the entryway. To the left was the West Room, Morgan's office. To the right was the East Room, which became the reading room for visitors. The North Room was straight ahead, directly opposite the imposing entrance. This office would soon be hers. These doors, these high frescoed ceilings, damask and tapestried and art-laden walls, the heavy wood shelves soon to house the collected treasures, these would become her home and her legacy. We do not know what words were exchanged, what first impressions were made, yet we can imagine the two sizing each other up. Mr. Morgan trying to judge her ability and her character, Miss Green anxious to impress and trying not to try too hard, making her own judgments of the notorious man now quizzing her. They certainly made a very odd couple. Morgan was a formidable figure, gruff, blunt, and used to getting his way. A large man with a bulbously scarred nose and small dark eyes, he glared ferociously out at the world. This was the man who had the power to sway and save the national economy and who was single-handedly bringing more artwork, including the manuscripts that were already Bell's passion, to Manhattan. In turn-of-the-century New York, no one was more famously and infamously powerful than J. Pierpont Morgan. He had grown up in modest wealth, but had made his own enormous fortunes speculating in the Civil War and leading the movement of capital into new technologies, railroad, steel, oil, electricity, and the development of corporate monopolies. At the age of 68, Morgan was also more than 40 years Bell's senior. By contrast, Belle DaCosta Green was small and slender, her dainty figure squeezed even thinner into the wasp-waisted corsets of the period's fashion. Her delicate silhouette only accentuated his bullishness. By all accounts, she was as beautiful as she was brilliant, although her beauty was usually qualified as exotic or unusual. With a cloud of dark hair and huge eyes, olive skin, and a proud carriage, she dressed elegantly and conducted herself with poise and dignity beyond her apparently youthful age. Later reports estimated that she was only 18, 19, at most 21, when she first came to Mr. Morgan's library.